Welcome to the She Connects podcast. My name is Susan Vandenhubel, and I am honored to be your host each and every week. This is an extension of my ministry, She Rises, that allows me to connect with women in the online space. You can learn more about me and my ministry at www.sherisesmn.org or simply tap the link in the show notes. But for now, let's dive into this week's episode. Hey ladies, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited that you're here, and I'm really excited about this week's conversation on presence over performance. And we're talking about what that means as it relates to our church services, our ministries that we might be leading, Bible studies, life groups. It really is applicable to anything that we are doing in the presence of the Lord. We want Him. We want His presence. And sometimes I think we get distracted by having all of these things set in place that we think are going to be beneficial and going to enhance our time together, when really it's just the presence of the Lord. We need Him. We need the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to dive into that conversation today. And I'm excited to have back as a guest on the podcast, my friend, Jenny Randall. So Jenny, welcome back to the show. Tell us a little bit about you and where you're joining us from.
Thanks, Susan. Yes, I am right outside of Jacksonville on Amelia Island in Florida, and I'm excited to be back. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. Oh, so good. And just hearing the word island here in this Minnesota winter is very appealing. So I might show up on your doorstep. I don't know.
Yes, do it.
You're not. That probably isn't going to happen, but you know. So this week we're talking about, as I said, presence over performance. When you hear those words, what does that mean to you?
Well, so I'm an introvert thinker, overthinker. So my wheels are like constantly spinning. So when I think of this question, my immediate reaction is show versus surrender. Mm-hmm. And then I start thinking, well, wait a minute, these performance and God's presence, they're not always at odds against one another, because some are called to perform at like actors or do a monologue in a church play or whatever the case may be. So it's not always at odds, but the way you set up this conversation, Susan, is key to that question, because we are talking about church leadership, how we're walking out our Christian faith. So in the context of purely that, is Christianity, is it performance, or are we putting on a show, or are we surrendering our everything before the Lord? So to summarize it as brief as I can, it would be, that would mean show versus surrender. And I have been convicted time and time again that I am not here to put on a show to others. I am not here first and foremost to put on a show for the Lord. He knows everything that's going on in my life anyways. So who am I to put on a mask of pretend? We're here not to play pretend, but to humble ourselves before Him, to be honest. And then the hope is that as we do surrender our lives to a God who gave us everything, that we can walk that out as an example and a model for others to do the same.
That's so beautiful. I love that. And I really appreciate that you included the word surrender, because I think that that is so key. It's really, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when I hear that, especially in context to this conversation that we're having, it's surrendering my opinion and my agenda and what I think is necessary and needed. I know for me with She Rises, sometimes I can easily slip into that performance of having, I need to have this and I need to have that, because that's what's going to attract women. That's what's going to bring women in, and that's what they want. And that's what's going to be everything that they need. And I remember several years ago when the Lord really helped me with that, to remember that all of those things are great. I mean, we do some great things with She Rises, but I think that it's His presence that we not only want, but it's His presence that we need, really, because we can have all of these great things, these fun things, which we do incorporate, but that's not what transforms lives.
Yes, yes. And it's His presence is the foundation from which we can show up and lead She Rises, and we can have these great ideas to get the word out on the projects he's asking us to steward. And that really is the foundation and the crux of what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. So we know, unless we've been living in a cave, so much has changed over the past few years. But I really think in regard to this topic, change started well before 2020. We all know when we hear so much have changed over the last few years, and we don't even need to mention the year 2020. We all know, oh yes, it happened then. That was the turning point right there. In faith communities, what have you seen change over the years specifically?
So I first started a ministry in media ministry. So this is like this is the time for media ministry when COVID hit, because everyone was stuck at home. So the rise of the online church was relevant, was needed, was beautiful. A lot of churches were equipped to stream online and to broadcast their messages, because some were already doing it and going around the world with the gospel. So that has been hugely beneficial. We see, technical stuff. We see virtual churches in meta universes and like all these crazy things. So like my heart beats for church communications, online spaces that are preaching the gospel, all of that. But in the same breath, there's great things. I love local church, but in the same breath with the streaming capabilities, and now as a church member, we're able to hide behind our computers and individualize our theological preferences on who we want to listen to on a Sunday, what church we want to attend, and the ability to kind of pick and choose our faith is easier. It's easier more than ever to do that. And I believe that we all should be a part of a local Bible teaching church, because when you're with local, you can't hide behind a keyboard and be a keyboard warrior and mouth off about all the things. Like, you are face to face with people, doing life with people as God has invited us to do. And a lot of times when you're face to face, the Holy Spirit can pour out his presence through supernatural gifts, through signs and wonders. And not that he can't do that online, but I mean, there's a time and a place. And historically, it's been when a body of believers have gathered together, his presence will be poured out. So there's benefits to this online church. And then there's also, it can cause some harm when we become as individuals so dependent on it that we stop showing up in real life.
Yeah, so good. And so I'm just curious, you know, during the time where we were forced to be online, I remember thinking that, wow, we kind of were forced to get rid of all of the flashing lights and all of the things, you know, and it was just this really stripped down, here we are. I know that our church that we were attending at the time, it was like two people, you know, singing, leading us in worship with an acoustic guitar. And I remember how, again, to your point, I mean, it was where we were at in the world. We were not meeting in person. And so I remember at the time that those worship sets were very impactful for me, because it was just so beautiful. It was just the strip down, and the presence of the Lord met us in our living rooms. So I'm glad that you pointed that out. And what do you think about just, you know, when it comes to services and even outside of the church? We talked a little bit about even things that were leading outside of the church. Do you feel like having things so structured to fit all of these different things in, do you feel like that impacts the ability of God to be able to move in the way that he desires?
God can do whatever he wants to do, right? Like, and we could be so surprised and astonished. But in the same vein, there's that tension as leaders to steward our time honorably, to, you know, lead the people where we think God wants to take us. But if we're holding that so tightly, and because there's a countdown timer and we have to close the service in 5 seconds, like but you feel a prompting from the Holy Spirit to say something and you just like push that away, you 100% could be missing out on a move of God. And also, I say this all the time, my heart as a minister is to help us not be distracted from the way God is moving. Mm-hmm. And there's so many distractions we're contending against, even like the flat, like you mentioned, flashing lights and like the show in worship, like that's a distraction from the fairy, fairy presence of God himself. Like who needs red lights flashing in their eyes or like strobe lights? I mean, there's a time and a place, right? But so it's really fighting against those distractions, the things that are pulling our focus from the majesty and the might of who God is, and just showing up in his presence and even having an environment that welcomes that is key to stewarding a move of God. And it doesn't have to look like 7-hour long services, you know, but it is, as leaders, it is even in our one-on-one conversations. Right before we, Susan, hit record, she made space for me to spill some guts on something and just prayed over me. And we didn't just bulldoze into this moment, but you actually saw me and cared about me enough to be like, what's going on? Let's pray. And I think with this distracted culture, even as women, it's go, 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 do the next thing. We have this to-do list to tackle. We got to take care of the kids, whatever that may look like. We have to be so close knit to the Lord that we can sense his presence and sense when he's like, hey, slow down, go notice that person because I want to speak life to them. Go talk over here. And we don't understand how all the dots connect in this crazy world we're living in. But the fact, I get emotional thinking about it, but the fact that he has asked us to be a piece of the puzzle is just wild to me. And I don't ever want to be so distracted or self-absorbed or even in my own head, like fighting through anxiety of like, I'm going to say something weird. Like, I just want to be faithful to whatever he asks of me.
Mm. Oh, I love that. I echo your heart in that. And I think that talking about just busyness and distractions, we are busy people. Life is on the move. And so what are some things that you, just curious, some things that you implement in your busy life and your full schedule to make sure that you create margin to hear from the Lord?
Yeah, I think it's funny because a pastor friend and I talk about this a lot and we're like, oh, people are so people-y. And like, you have your agenda, like I'm going to write a sermon today, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But then people come along and you're like, wait a minute, now I must tend to this person's heart, and just as you were doing for me, Susan. So I think it's really knowing first and foremost, it's people first, obviously God first, but knowing that people can interrupt our schedules, that matters because people matter. So you can combat those things of wanting to show up over here and over there. I love hearing God in worship. So like if I need to get fired up or whatever, I'll seek the Lord in worship and like feel his presence. And so I always like to start my day with that. And then as you dig into the word of God, obviously conviction follows so quickly. And just as we learn about who God is, that draws us into want to be more like him and even just worship the fairy ground he created. So I think the key to it all, and it goes back to that surrender, is surrendering our schedules, surrendering our time, giving him our first. And it doesn't even have to mean you have to study your Bible in the morning. I'm not a morning person. So like I'll get the kids to school, wake up at 6:30, get the kids to school, and then I'll dig in, or I'll stay up late and I'll have these like profound moments with the Lord. So it's like finding when you can do that rigorous study time, when you can worship in the car. It's like filling those pockets with moments to be with the Lord, and it just overflows throughout the day. And that's what it looks like to live spirit-led. You are prayerfully seeking him throughout the day. You're stopping when you feel prompted and you're asking for more clarification.
Oh, so good. Oh, there's so many different directions I could go because you just really shared so many beautiful pieces of truth and wisdom, man. Okay. So I'm going to try to stay focused here, but I would encourage you listening community, make sure that you are looking at the show notes because Jenny is an incredible author. She's an incredible writer and she has a lot of resources on helping you to grow in your faith. So those links are in the show notes. Be sure that you check those out. What does it mean, do you think, when people refer to the glory of God? I want to unpack that a little bit.
So 2 Corinthians 4:1-18, I've actually taught through Paul is writing his second letter to the Corinth church, a church he helped start. And now he's writing to them and is like, oh, we need to be a little more unified. They've been attacking his ministry. So he's like defending. He's like, I'm not like just it, the whole point is Jesus. But he actually walks through what God's glory means. So we don't have time to do a full exegetical. Let's look verse by verse. But if you were to study that out, Paul's referencing God's glory and it manifests one through salvation. So it's this invitation to respond to who God is, which he's always redeeming. He's redeeming humanity. That's like what he's doing and what he's about. So an invitation to salvation, you experience his glory, which as Christ followers, we've felt that, right? That turn, our hearts has turned toward his glory is also a manifestation of his power. Mm. And that's usually, we experience that type of glory when we're in worship at church and you just all of a sudden, like, you feel a weight lifted off of you and you have no words, or when you're crying on your face in prayer and you just are saturated by the love of God, or you are overwhelmed by his peace, or feeling his power. The manifestation of his power can happen through the supernatural gifts like prophecy or healing or words of knowledge, or as even in you operate in the tasks he's asking you to operate in, you can feel his glory. And then the third way we can encounter his glory is he gives us this heavenly perspective. So we encounter God's glory when we're so burdened and so downtrodden and feel like we're in the middle of suffering. Yet there's this reminder through the power of the Holy Spirit, there's this reminder of this future hope we have. And that is what it means to endure. Right? When we were reminded of what is to come. And that too is a manifestation of God's glory. I think when we, as Christians, when you and I are like, oh, his glory came, we're usually referring to the second way, like we felt his power, but also salvation and this eternal perspective are a piece of that as well. Mm-hmm. But God has, I know I'm dumping a lot at you. God has one glory. Right? But the manifestation of that glory can look a whole bunch of different ways.
Oh, that is just a beautiful definition. And I think that so often, especially in our charismatic Pentecostal circles, we tend to focus on the second portion of that definition of the glory of God, you know, mm-hmm. and which is great and powerful. And I'm not trying to dismiss that, but I really think that it's necessary to also understand that it includes these other equally powerful and transforming areas of our lives in salvation and him meeting us when we're praying, and those prayers are in desperation at some time. And so I'm just curious, just another question. Do you feel like sometimes we overcomplicate that, the glory of God?
I think, yes, 100%. We want the angelic visitation of rainbows and butterflies and like the Lord has spoken. And oftentimes it's simpler than that. But I will tell you, like I had this experience maybe 7 months ago where I was just so desperate towards a health issue I was having. And like, there was just this desperation of like, Lord, why aren't you healing me? I've prayed for healing. And the theology of healing is a whole nother discussion. But I was just at that place of desperation, like you just were saying. And I was meeting the Lord night after night. I would be awoken around 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd go in the only quiet place in the house where I wouldn't awake everyone else up. So I was like hiding in the bathroom floor, just like crying out to the Lord, just like, God, I have nothing left to give. I have nothing left for you. And I would leave the bathroom. Nothing felt like it changed. And one night I went in and I felt in my spirit, like the presence of the Lord say, Jenny, nobody will save you but me. Like, is that enough? And I can tell you, in that simple moment of me crying out on the bathroom floor, I was met with God's glory. There's no doubt about it. And I left out of that room and I was 100% changed. I wasn't healed in the way I imagined I should be, right? But I was so humbled with the thought that, man, God, that is enough. You are enough. You are enough. And a reminder that this eternal perspective, in the end of days, when I'm face to face with Jesus, I'm fully healed.
Yeah.
Like he's giving me the enduring grace to walk this out right now. And in that moment of like the simple question, I'm going to save you. Is that enough? That has to be enough. And his glory meets us in those places where we're so overwhelmed with his might, with his grandeur, with his majesticness, that it's like nothing else matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that story. You know, the last couple of years I've been stepping into a little role reversal with my parents, and that has escalated and accelerated here in the last few months. And so just spending a lot of time on the road going down there, and I almost lost my dad in December. And so I think that it's so important, and I'm so grateful that you went there in this conversation, that to sort of expand our definition and our understanding of what the glory of God is, because I too have met the glory of God in those moments of desperation when I'm shedding tears and I'm driving on the interstate all by myself again, you know, or in the hospital waiting room, or, you know, just trying to navigate really difficult conversations that I feel, I just don't even have the capacity for because I'm tired. And that is the glory of God too, that allows us to be able to continue to walk through those situations. So beautiful. I just love the Lord, and he knows exactly what we need at every single moment. And that you even shared in the middle of the night, I know that I probably speak for you. I don't need to, but isn't it wonderful that he never slumbers or sleeps? He doesn't take a vacation. He doesn't have, you know, banker's hours, but he's so available every single moment of every single day and night. It's just so beautiful. It leaves me undone, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Me, that's such a good point to think about. Like, and the fact too, that we have full access to that, like, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, like at any moment we can slow down and be like, okay, God, I know you're with me. As a Christ follower, I know you're with me. And that I can't even wrap my brain around it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, another, Phil just prompted to share this, another angle of this presence over performance. In this season of my life, I've been also reminded that, Susan, I don't need you to perform for me.
Yeah.
You can come before me and be my daughter. I don't need you to be strong for me. I don't need you to have all the answers. I don't need you to have the solutions. I am that for you. And so you can set all of that aside. I don't need your performance. You can just be with me, be in my presence. And that's probably a whole nother conversation, but I felt prompted to share that. So whoever needed to hear that, the Lord wants you to know that he sees you and knew that you needed to hear that. And I think that it's just easy. You kind of alluded to this earlier, that especially for us as women and moms, we easily slip into that of just go, go, go. And, you know, we're the taxi driver and the referee, and we are the ones putting the Band-Aid on, and, you know, all the things. And so that we have this presence that we can escape to and just sit and be outside of performance, I think is just so beautiful. All right. So we need to come back to the posture of understanding that the Lord isn't impressed with our performances. We're really kind of hammering that here. We've talked a little bit about that he's not impressed with our fancy lighting and great aesthetics. But if we want him to move in our services, our meetings, Bible studies, whatever that looks like, it's we the people that need to make those changes. Share your thoughts on what an environment looks like that is ripe for the move of God and the outpouring of Holy Spirit. Such a deep question, I feel like.
Yeah, it's just the desperation we've been talking about. And it's a humbling of our souls. to just to want to come before him and worship him. And it's a holding of the schedules loosely. And just last night at my church, I was teaching a Bible study. We're going through theology topics and I was teaching on healing. And I was planning it out and I was like, okay, that's all we're going to do. And then I was like, what an idiot I am. Like, why wouldn't we pray for healing over anybody in the class that needs healing? And so I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, for that thought, because I just want to bulldoze through the information and like, let's be really smart, but like, let's put it to action. And so I asked if anyone needed healing, and almost everybody in the room had a situation that we could pray over and plead before the Lord and like see what'll happen. So it really is this posture of vulnerability, being okay, say it's at church, being okay to express yourself before the Lord, however that looks. It might not look for the same for everybody. I'm not saying go wild and crazy and disrupt the church service. That's not what we're about, but it's about feeling comfortable to kneel down if you feel the Lord is leading and directing you to do that, to be reverent before him. That really is what true worship is. Yeah. I got on a tangent there, but.
No, that's good. I love it. Keep going. How do we know? I'm just thinking about the woman that might be listening and she's maybe new to her faith and she's wondering, you know, she hears us talking about these promptings and I felt the Lord speak to me. How do we know and recognize that the Lord is speaking and he wants to go in this direction? How do we know that it's him and that it's not just me?
Yeah, I love this question. So in order to discern if it's the Lord, God will never speak anything that is not biblical. So yeah, that's why it's key to study the word. We got to know the word of God and then compare what we think he's saying to that word. So he will never speak anything that's outside of his character, outside of the fruits of the spirit, outside of his holy scriptures. So that's the first indicator, if it's God or not. And that's like the ultimate. So I always weigh everything against that. And then in regards to supernatural giftings, like if you feel like you have a word for somebody, it's discerning, okay, well, is this an encouraging word? Is this a comforting word? Is this a word that's going to build them up? And then prayerfully considering, okay, God, is this word for somebody specifically right now? Is this something I need to pray more into? Is this something you want me to share later? And what does that look like? And then also, it's really discerning too how your church caters to the gifts of the Spirit. Does your church allow you to publicly share corporate words? Do you tell the pastor on the side after? So it's really just, that's a bigger picture of what does it look like to hear God and walk out the gifts. But I think in those moments, God's glory is manifest as we do represent him through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's important, I think, to have those conversations as well.
Yeah, really good. And I want to circle back to what you said in relation to spiritual gifting and when a person maybe feels they have a word of knowledge or something to share, because I think that was such a powerful point to remember that if he's speaking to us, it's up to us to steward that and, you know, to not just like run into something and really allowing the Lord. Here we're talking about presence again, you know, and God, okay, I hear you speaking this to me. Now, what do you want me to do with that? And so I'm really just repeating what you shared, but I feel like it's so important to remember that it's up to us to steward that. And he's the one that's speaking to us. And obviously he knows to whom and at what time to share that and to communicate what we hear the Lord is saying. I just think that timing is really key there.
Because if we are on God's timing, we're pushing through and we're starting to perform. We're starting to make something happen because, well, God said it. And it's like, well, did he tell you when to execute it? Because I mean, how many times have I felt a dream from the Lord and I'll just bulldoze right through and his favor isn't on it because I've taken matters into my own hands. Now I'm doing a show and a performance.
Right, right. I always say it's never good to come up with a plan and hope God follows it. So
I love that.
You know, and so I think that it also then begs the question, and I already know the answer, but I kind of want to go there just for a couple of minutes. Can we as faith leaders manufacture and stir up the glory of God?
Oh, that question makes me so sad. No. You can create environments that are hyped up, and you can create environments where people leave feeling something, but did they leave changed? That's a marker of truly encountering God's presence. I always like to say, like, when you leave church, are you thinking about yourself, or are you thinking about a character trait of God? Like, what are we even living for if it's just like this meology of like, look how great I am? But one of the problems with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, with people fully understanding the Holy Spirit, is that he's been manipulated and misused, and people have pretended to, or maybe it was genuine, minister through the power of the Spirit, and it was weird or wrong or hurtful. The glory of God should not be manifested by humans. I mean, that's literally the saddest thing. And if we ever catch ourselves, like, I'll have people, because sometimes the Lord will minister through me prophetically, and I'll have people come up and be like, I feel like you have a prophetic word for me. And I'll just sit and be like, no, I don't. I'll let you know if I do. But I don't think as a people we should ever be forced into stirring up the gifts or executing something God isn't asking us to execute. He'll be clearer as we learn to discern his voice. And I think that's one of the biggest heartaches for me as a leader, is seeing the manipulation of the power of God.
Yeah. Oh, and I personally, just my own thoughts on this, I think that if we have a true reverent fear of the Lord, we will be very careful when we say, hey, I have a word for you, or God told me to tell you this. I mean, I was just reading a couple of weeks ago in the book of Jeremiah, when God was saying, you know, that these prophets are speaking, but they're not speaking on my behalf. And so there again, there's that presence over performance. I feel like I need to be heard, or I'm feeling like, to your point, I feel forced because somebody has come to me and wants a word from me. And so I need to, you know, give them a word. And I, again, a whole nother topic, but just that return to the reverent fear of the Lord, I think is really important, especially in this hour that we're living in. I want us to spend the remainder of our time talking about the areas of revival that are taking place in America, which is so, so beautiful. I know that you visited the campus of Asbury last year. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience and what you observed there?
Yeah. So I am almost graduated from Asbury Theological Seminary. So I'm heading into my last semester. And we started hearing murmurs of something happening on campus. So there's Asbury University, and then the seminary is across the street. They're interconnected. So the mostly online students started talking about it a couple days after something was happening. And what we were hearing is that there was a normal chapel service on a Wednesday. A couple students felt led, after it was over, it was just a typical service, they felt led to stay and pray. And for some reason on that day, God met them with his glory, like we were talking about, his powerful presence met them in that place. And words started to spread, and people began to run to the chapel. And it just started growing and growing. And people were talking about what God was doing. And there was genuine miracles and healings and transformation and salvations and testimonies coming from it. And so I'm online and I'm hearing about this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I was there. And my professor emailed a couple days after this. So I think on Friday he sent out an email and he said, hey, I just want to let you guys know, I have been in environments that have hyped up its people and called it revival. And he said, this is not that. It's like, this is a genuine move of God. and I don't understand what God's doing, but I want to be here for it. And he just went into what was happening. So then I'm like, oh my gosh, I was talking to a friend. I was like, I really want to go. So I asked my husband, but I'm also not spontaneous. So it's like that wrestling match of like, how adventurous are we going to be today? So I asked Matt, I was like, hey, this is happening. Do you think I could go? And he's like, yeah, you should totally go. So the next day, 2 days later, I was on a plane headed there, and the logistics of it, one of my good friends ended up meeting me, which was such a blessing. And I get emotional. The first day we had a friend there. So we kind of ushered us into the back of where everything was happening. And he opened the side door of the sanctuary, and you just felt the tangible joy of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we got in and we went up to the balcony, and it was just the most. And I've been in like your charismatic revivals. I've been in like hours of meetings, and like I've experienced, similar to what my professor was saying, I've experienced great other things, but this was the sweetest presence of God that I have ever felt. And it was interdenominational. There were Catholics worshiping next to Pentecostals. It was grandmas praying over the younger generation. You know what was beautiful about it? There was no performance. No, it was student-led. Obviously, there were professors and leaders over it that were helping the students, but all students continued to lead worship. They had all their like worship people just cycling through. They did not put the lyrics on the screen. So either you knew the songs or you didn't. There no performance, no lights. They would preach for 5 minutes, and then they'd go into testimonies, and they'd say, if you're a student, you have a testimony, we want to hear from you first. Will you encourage these people? And like it was the younger generation, like humbling themselves before the Lord, and he met them in that. And we were all benefactors of that. We all walked in and felt the sweetest presence of the Lord. And there was a moment, we were there for 2 full days of worship. The first day, my friend and I decided to leave, and we were like, oh, maybe we were there for, I don't know, a couple hours. We were there for 7 hours worshiping. And it felt like two. So it was like, you were outside of time, just corporately praising the Lord, praying, like you were in his presence. Mm-hmm. And I saw a woman who was on the prayer team, and I was like, I feel led to go ask her to pray for me. So I walked down and I was like, hey, will you pray over me? And she was like, yeah. And she just began to pray. Like, you know, fiery grandma prayers. Like she was all over it. And I just remember being like, you know, I just got to sit on the ground because I can't even handle the weight of what God's doing right now. You know how you can feel his presence come on you and you're like, oh
yeah.
So I just sat there for a couple of songs, just like being open to whatever God is doing. And then the second day, there was a line over a mile long of people wanting to get in to see what God was doing. And it was just this continuous, there were testimony after testimony of testimony, like God healing people, God bringing about salvation, people reconciling relationships, just signs and wonders. And the great thing is that at Asbury is a Wesleyan college, and they actually, from what I understand, was foundational in the Pentecostal movement, because they're so focused on the holiness of God and loving your neighbor. And it was so cool to see. And I would describe it as typically more liturgical. So it's not like a rowdy Pentecostal, you know. So I like putting language to things. That's why I'm processing through this. So it isn't where you would expect God to pour out his glory, right? Mm-hmm. But it was 1,000,000% the most beautiful corporate encounter with God I've ever had.
I remember just following that when it was taking place, and just so gripped in my heart. And I think that hunger is so key here. You know, we're talking about wrapping up this conversation. We're talking about revival and remembering that revival happens with the individual. It starts with me, you know, starts with you. It starts with us in here. And I think that if we look at the Bible, we see that wherever Jesus saw or heard hunger, it just arrested his steps. And when I think about that, I think I just want the presence of the Lord to be arrested over my life, and just like, because he can hear and see hunger within me, that I don't want to be found pursuing all these things. I just want to pursue and hunger after you. Any thoughts that you have on hunger, staying hungry for the Lord?
Yeah, I think I love what you said. And it really, I think as women, especially in the Instagram Pinterest generation, we feel like we, like you were saying earlier, it's the show. We have to show up and we have to look like this and we have to be polished and we have to have it all together. And God isn't asking us to be fake. He's asking us to be real before him. So if we continue to pursue a genuine relationship with the Lord, there's a realness to that. And that requires vulnerability. That requires saying, hey, God, I need your help in this. And in order to do that, you have to spend time with him. So first and foremost, that's the key to this whole thing of being in God's presence is like you were showing up, being hungry. And like you were saying, being hungry and showing up before him and trusting that he will not only save us, but strengthen and sustain us as we walk out our days.
Yeah. So good. Oh, I feel like we could just go on for much longer. Such a beautiful conversation, I think. And like I said earlier, so needed. I just hope that this conversation added value to your life. And be sure, like I said earlier, to check out the show notes and connect with Jenny in the online space. She has some courses that you can participate in that I know are going to champion you forward in your faith. Grab a hold of her books. Really, really great material. She's an effective communicator. So with that, thank you so much for joining us, and I'll catch you right back here next time.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. It was great connecting with you. Hey, would you do me a quick favor that would mean the world to me? Would you go ahead and leave a few stars and a review or even a comment? It not only means so much to me, but in the online space and the podcasting world, the more stars, reviews, and comments that a podcast receives, the further the reach. It ranks up a little bit higher in Google searches, which then results in reaching more women with this amazing content. So if you are blessed and enjoying, you know, just the content that you are hearing here on the podcast, would you go ahead and leave a few stars, a review, and some comments? It means the world to me. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you right back here, same place, same time next week.